Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and we're going to finish off chapter 2, starting with verses 9 through 15. And if you give me a moment, let me change the screen right up here. We'll go to the screen. Here we go. Yes, there we are. Praise God. And I've entitled this evening's message, Our Blessed Hope is Jesus. Our Blessed Hope is Jesus. My friends, we're living right now in a time of a lot of turmoil in our nation. Politically, we're divided in half. There's a lot of rise of crime, inflation. People cannot put things together like they used to in the past. Families are in a heartbreak situation where we're seeing families divided and kids running off on drugs and all manner of turmoil right now in our nation. But I'm here to let you know that our blessed hope is in Jesus. It's not a political leader. It's not the economy changing. No. We're dealing with humanity, which is very sinful, and we need a Savior. This is why Jesus came. He is our only blessed hope. Praise God. Praise God. So, are we ready? Are your Bibles turned to page, or actually starting at verse 9 in chapter 2 of Titus? Well, let's go there right now, and let's read. And it says in verse 9, here we go. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. Praise God, praise God. That they may adorn the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. Say that with me at home. In all things, praise God. Verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And that's right, saints of God, this present age. Looking for the blessed hope. This is where I got the title of this message. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. One day He will appear, saints of God. Verse 14 and 15. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. Praise God. His own special people. That's us. That's you and I. Praise God. For what? For zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's do an expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept. Let's start with verse 9. Here we go. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Praise God. Praise God. Not pilfering, but showing all good what? Fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. What? In all things. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, slavery was common in Paul's day. Millions of slaves occupied the empire, and many of them found their way into the early churches. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, slavery was an institution and would not be changed. Praise God. It would not be changed overnight. Thus, Paul did not condemn the institution of slavery in any of his letters, but Paul advised both Christian slaves and masters to be loving and responsible in their conduct. And we can correlate and parallel that the masters of today is basically our employers. Praise God. Most of us work, and so we're given a salary and a paycheck. That's the only difference of having an employment versus being enslaved. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that we're not enslaved anymore? These people back then were enslaved in quarters and chains and what have you. And they were not free people. But we live in a beautiful country that's free. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen to that. You see, Paul wrote it best in the book of Ephesians. Look at this. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, look what it reads here. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart. As to who? To Christ. This is where we need to be Christ-like on our job, in school, in our family. They need to see Jesus. Can I get amen? Look at verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the what? From the heart, with good will, service, hallelujah, as to the Lord and not to men. Praise God. It should be unto God that men and women will see God through us. Can I get amen? Look at this in verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no what? Partiality with him. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know, saints of God, that in the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. And so this is what I love about serving the Lord, because he blesses his children equally. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's different than a human family, especially if you come from a big family. I have 11 brothers and sisters. And it's common nature that one or two, particularly one, would be the favorite of them all and would get special treatment at home. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. And so with God, we're all equal. He doesn't have pets. You know, oh, that's my favorite. No, we can all jump on his lap at one time and he will minister to us. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church right up here. Look at this in Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. Do you catch that? But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. There you go again. Praise God. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no what? Partiality. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy. Look at this in 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 2. Look at this. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine, the teaching, may not be blasphemed. Praise God. Look at this. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Praise God. Praise God. Now, it's also found similarly in 1 Peter. Look at this in 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Wow, that's tough right there. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Look at this. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Wow, wow. In other words, suffering for the cause of Christ. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow what? His steps. Praise God, praise God. Look at this, verse 22. Who committed no sin, praise God, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges what? Righteously. Look at verse 24. Who gave himself, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to what? To sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes you were healed. Praise God. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, slaves were to obey their masters by nature of their position. But the difference Paul hoped to teach them was in their attitude toward their masters and toward the work they perform. Praise God. They should treat their masters with respect. In other words, in the day and time we live in, treat your employers with respect. Why? Because they hired you to do a work. And when we do a job for them, we should do it wholeheartedly. Let our light shine. Can I get amen? And they should do their best to please them, as I just mentioned. They no longer serve because they had to. They serve because they love the Lord and their masters and because they took pride in their work. Praise God. Can we say that about ourselves today, saints of God? You see, that the slaves were not to talk back meant that they should not be stubborn, unimaginable. In other words, you couldn't manage them. Or resistant to authority. That they should not steal, referred to any type of theft that might be classified as petty larceny. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, slaves might be tempted to take the small needed items, but Christian slaves must resist that temptation in order to show themselves to be entirely, say that with me at home, entirely trustworthy, praise God, and good. And saints of God, they would impress their masters and other slaves with the depth of change that God had performed in their lives, making others want to know more about the Christian faith. Praise God, praise God. So let's move on now and continue with verse 11 of Titus chapter 2. And it reads, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I want you to see this right here in the book of John. John chapter 3, look at verse 16, starting with verse 16. Look at this. For God so loved the world, say that with me at home, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Praise God. Praise God. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Might be saved. Praise God. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Unbelievers are already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has what? Has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It's spelled out clearly right here. Look at this in verse 20 and 21. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21. But he who does, say that with me at home, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, God's salvation was offered to all different people in the groups he had just identified. God, by his grace, sent Jesus Christ to earth because of Christ's death on the cross. Salvation is available to all people. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? You see, my friends, the grace of God was revealed in Christ. Praise God. Referring to the incarnation. Praise God. that that message of grace arrived in Crete with Paul and Titus. And we could hardly imagine the impact. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, when the gospel light is turned on in a place of darkness, changes are inevitable. And those who respond are transformed. Those who resist and reject the message can do so, but they must face the consequences. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that you and I, we said yes and amen to the Lord when He went through the highways and byways looking for us? Praise God. Praise God. That's right. Some of us, like my brother G would say, we was toe up and the flow up. And yet God still chose you and me to have mercy and grace, that we would be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord for such a time as this. I am so blessed that God came not only just to change us from the inside, but He came to deliver us. He came to set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am so blessed that He came, interrupted my life, hallelujah, and He took me off an untoward path and put me on the path of righteousness. For it's by His blood that has imputed upon us as righteous now. We can walk with authority. We can walk with God's grace and His mercy. We can speak the things of God. We can lead others to Him. Praise God. And God has given us the message of hope, that men and women will look at us and say, there is hope, especially when they knew our BC years before Christ. But God, hallelujah, in His ultimate plan, chose you and I before the foundation of the world. And you need to understand the grace of God, the mercy of God. This is why I'm so ever grateful and thankful to Him. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I hope that you do as well, and that God will continue to bless your life. Amen. Let's move on now to verse 12 and 13 of Titus chapter 2. And it reads, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope. This is where I got the message for this evening. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed? Amen, amen. You see, saints, all of Paul's instructions and the previous verses can be summed up in these several phrases. Believers must turn from godless living, praise God, and sinful pleasures. You see, my friends, we live in an evil world where many totally reject God's grace and God's influence in any area of life. You see, my friends, Christians must renounce that attitude. Why? Because sinful pleasures are desires for the pleasures and activities of this world. Oh, that's right. Look what the book of 1 John stipulates here. Look at this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Look at this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. Praise God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that we have eternal life by God's grace through faith? You see, my friends, believers must replace those desires with positive characteristics, self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God. You see, my friends, the motivation for righteous living is looking forward to that wonderful event when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Praise God, praise God. Well, for us who are believers, it's been revealed in us the mystery through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. You see, my friends, you and I, we can look forward to Christ's wonderful return with eager expectation and hope. Our hope makes us alive each day, ready morally and ethically to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God, praise God. So now, let's go on to verse 14. Look at this. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous, zealous for good works. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, whose return believers await, is the same Jesus Christ who came to earth and died for our sins. Praise God. You see, my friends, Christ's act of sacrifice is summed up in the words, gave his life. Praise God. It indicates that he gave himself voluntarily. He laid down his life. No one took it from him. Praise God. It was an act of love. Praise God. For each and every one of us. He wanted to free us from every kind of sin. Praise God. Praise God. Christ paid the ultimate price. Praise God. He removed our bondage to sin that made us lawless and rebels. Oh, come on. You remember how we used to roll. Oh, that's right. Just remember what he has delivered you from. But here's the thing. Many of us were involved in many vices of the devil. We all get that. And God freed us and delivered us. But I'm here to let you know the main purpose that he came, and you got to just let it sink in, is that every one of us were headed to a place called hell. Oh, that's right. If we were to have died in our sin without being washed from the blood of the Lamb through a heart of repentance, or even filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we would have been tossed into the lake of fire that burns forever. Wow. Oh, that's right. You know, Jesus talked about hell more in the Word of God than he did heaven. And so his purpose was to come to save us from that horrible place. Aren't you? How many are so blessed at home to know that he came to save us from that horrible place? You see, my friends, Christ has accomplished the work required to cleanse those whom he died to save. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Look what 1 John says right here. Look at this. In 1 John 1, 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, here's the key. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is what? It's not in us. Wow. Look at this. If we confess our sins, say that with me at home. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. Say that with me at home. All, not some. All unrighteousness. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Wow. Wow, wow, my friends. Look what I found in the book of Hebrews regarding this issue. In Hebrews 9, 12 through 14, look at this. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Wow, look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. Look at this. How much more, say that with me at home, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve whom? The living God. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, this purification is a process often called sanctification. You see, let me just pause for a moment and just say this. We have been justified. We are being sanctified. And then God sees us as glorified saints. What does that mean? Well, justification is just this. When a heart repents and cries out to God for mercy and grace, for forgiveness of sins, then the supernatural takes place. The heart has to repent first. Then here comes the blood to cover us and to wash us from the original sin. And then He fills us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that Holy Spirit that comes in is confirmation. It's like this. You go and buy a car, you got to put a down payment, right? Right? Normally you don't drive home with the car without any putting money down. They want a down payment. Well, God deposited into us the Holy Spirit to confirm that He's coming back for us. Because it's the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that gives us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, enables us to work in the kingdom of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the unction to function. Oh, that's right. Function in where? In the kingdom of God. To preach, to teach, to exhort, to raise up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what God miraculously has done to you and I. Praise God. And so, my friends, we're not only free, we've been justified by the blood. And then sanctification is He set us apart from the world to do His will, that we would walk in His ways. And then glorification is He sees you and I in the future tense. Oh, that's right. He sees us in the brand new body, glorified, where we will not be consumed by the brightness of His glory. You see, I've heard it said best like this. When we got saved and the Holy Spirit came into our life and the presence of God was so intense. I remember there were times where I said, God, back off me. It's so strong. That's just a smidgen. That's just a taste to the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, my friends, when we have the glorified body and we see Him face to face, if you take all the suns, stars, and the galaxies, and the universe, and they're trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions, and it goes on forever, light years away from each other. But if you were to put all those stars together, it would be so bright, but yet the glory of God will be a billion times brighter than any sun. And we will stand in His presence in a brand new glorified body that will be able to contain the brightness and the glory of God. This body of flesh right now, we would disintegrate in a matter of seconds. We'd be disintegrated because the glory, this flesh cannot contain the glory. This is why God told Moses, when I pass you by, do not look at me. For the day you look at me, you will die. Moses had to turn. He had to turn his face. All he saw was the train of his robe when he passed by. Praise God. Why? Because there was no way. No way that Moses would have been able to contain the glory. And so when we get that brand new body that's promised to us, saints of God, woo! It's going to be awesome. You see, my friends, we're not only free from the sentence of death from our sin, but we are also purified from the sin's influence as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, His redemption, it took care of the past. His purification makes the present and future an exciting and challenging prospect. Through His redemption, saints of God, God made us His very own people. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? The phrase has an important Old Testament background. The basis of the covenant was God's choosing this people and purifying them to be set apart for His special use. The Bible says we are now a royal priesthood, a particular people. Praise God. Praise God. We're different from the unbelievers. Not to say that we are walking above them. No. You and I have that blessed hope that they don't have yet. This is why we need to be a light. We need to be salt. We need to walk worthy of the call so that they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, my friends, as people who are cleansed and restored and who understand the awesome price paid on the cross for our behalf, we should always, always, saints of God, be thankful. How many of you at home are thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And my friends, we should also live according to God's will, totally committed to doing what is right. Then when Christ returns, He will find us ready and waiting and doing good works. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to our last verse of scripture found in the book of Titus chapter 2. Look at this. Speak these things in verse 15. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one what? Despise you. There are times, saints of God, when a rightful rebuke is needed. Oh, that's right. As a pastor, for the past 15 years, there have been a few times where I had to give a harsh rebuke. Why? Because the attitude, the character, the walk with certain individuals was bringing a reproach to the cross, bringing a reproach to His people, bringing a reproach to the church. And we can see clearly in Scripture, sometimes a rebuke is needed. And not to belittle the person, but to help that person grow. It's like this. You remember when you were a child and you got out of line? Oh, that's right. Your fathers used to take the board of education to the seat of your understanding. Oh, that's right. I got paddled many times. You know what? It made me a better kid. Because if they never corrected me, I'd be spoiled rotten. And I've seen some spoiled rotten kids in my day and time. So have you. But it's necessary sometimes when you have to bring discipline. Sometimes a harsh rebuke is needed for someone to wake up from their sleep and slumber. You see, my friends, Paul repeated his command to Titus to be unafraid in his teaching ministry among the believers in Crete. And these things were referred to throughout the book of Titus. Titus must teach or speak out as opposed to being silent and thus allowing wrongdoing and sin, encourage, exhort, advise, command, or even admonish, depending on the need, and doing correcting measures when necessary to express disapproval, reprimand, even if that was needed. Oh, that's right, saints of God. That's right. And so in short, he was to persist by every means at his disposal to communicate those who were in Crete what he had learned from Paul. Titus was an excellent student of the word. He was an awesome servant. And there are many types of Tituses in our church. And I've seen them in many other churches that I used to attend. You see, Titus had the right spirit. That's why he's mentioned. That's why there's a letter to him. Because Paul could trust him. Can you trust people in ministry? Can you trust people in your own household? Can you trust? There needs to be trust established. Why? To help each other grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. See, Titus could do this on divine authority only. For he had been entrusted by God with leadership gifts and with the ministry in Crete. And no doubt, saints of God, as Titus exercised his God-given authority, some would ignore or even disregard him, either because he was younger than they were or because they didn't agree with his decisions. But Paul had made a similar statement with respect to Timothy's youth, found right here. Let's go right here, what Paul wrote to Timothy. Let's go here, right here, in 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, and spirit faith and purity. It can be easily said like this. A young Christian with zeal and love and appreciation what God has done could walk right past someone that's been walking for 30 years who basically, you've heard it said like this, I'm going to say in a polite way, a pew potato. They go to church but don't do nothing. And then you get those who just get saved, that they have the zeal of the Lord, and man, they want to conquer the world. Praise God. But there's got to be a balance, and I get that. And there is a balance with most of them. But it's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God that's upon their lives. Praise God. And so, my friends, the impact of the phrase communicates the idea that neither Titus nor Timothy should allow anyone else's definition of who were to affect what they knew themselves to be, which is men of God. Titus should follow God's leading as he completed his mission among the Cretan churches. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, as we conclude Titus chapter 2, I'm looking forward to Titus chapter 3 as we continue. But I'm here to let you know that if you're logged in for the very first time, maybe second time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you heard me speak about justification, sanctification, glorification. Well, that first can only take place when you cry out to God and ask God's forgiveness for your life, for your sins. And every opportunity that God gives me as a pastor, as a teacher of God's word, I'm always going to give an invitation for those who are watching afar, or maybe even watching live in our in-person services on Sunday morning. But I'm always going to give that opportunity. Why? Because someone gave that opportunity to me. And for those of you that are watching that are saved, someone gave an opportunity to you. But there may be some right now, first, second, third time, or maybe they just never gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know, He's coming soon. He's coming again. Oh, that's right. We see the signs everywhere that He's coming again. My friends, I'm pleading with you. It is time now to turn to the living God, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out for your salvation. The Bible says that we are to work out our own salvation, meaning this is a personal relationship with God, with fear and trembling. Oh, that's right. Not that we're scared of God, that we have reverence toward Him and who He is and what He saved us from. He saved us from a place called hell, and He wants to save you from that horrible place as well. But you got to turn. You got to say, I'm tired, sick and tired of my sin, and truly repent and turn toward the living God, because He's there to forgive you. He's there to wash you in His blood. He's there to fill you with His Holy Spirit of promise. He's there for you to be saved. And that when He returns for all of us, He'll come and get you as well. But you got to cry out to God. You got to cry out and ask God to forgive you. Oh, that's right. That's right, my friends. I'm here to let you know that God wants to do the miraculous in your life. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. Listen, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that has logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. And you too will have the hope, that blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will come back for you as well. Praise God. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and ask God to come into your life through this prayer of faith. Pray this with me. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just got saved. Listen, down below is our banner. Listen, reach out to us. That's our website. On our website, we have our email. We have our phone number. Reach out. We want to give you a Bible. And we want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Also, my friends, I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that consistently supports our ministry. And we are so mighty, mighty blessed that you contribute to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. And so it's time for me to sign off. I look forward to coming back next Wednesday to continue in the book of Titus. We'll be starting chapter 3. But I look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Praise God. With a fresh manna from heaven, a new word of God. And I'm thankful for the worship team that will be there and whatever God has prepared, that we would receive it by God's grace. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So my friends, God bless you in the name of Jesus. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.